ups and downs in life, right? Well, for the Horsemen, July 4th, War Games, it'll be up into the cage and down onto the mat and up into the turnbuckle and down in the mat.
War Games was a unique opportunity in one match to see like 8 or 10 of the top guys in a business. It was kind of unique for the time.
Before you walk to the ring, you're thinking to yourself, you know, men are gonna die tonight, and I'm gonna kill them.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it any more than you think.
Welcome to episode 261. Can you tell we're not at the apartment?
It's different.
Yeah.
I feel like I was just here.
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Just when I thought I was out, y'all just keep like, hey, we need some help. Come help us. Okay.
I'll pay for pizza.
Oh, you got me.
There you go. Yeah, this is Chris.
Travis.
There we go. Houston Wrestling Radio. Just two of us tonight. We don't need to go into any more detail than that.
No, there's two of us.
Yeah, there's two of us tonight.
Abel's not here.
Yeah. Abel couldn't make it.
And what's
Arnold? Arnold. He has a Mexican quota. So
yeah, clearly.
Yeah. So, dude, let's get into it because we had four nights of wrestling here. I went to all four nights and I am burnt like toast, man. I'm like,
nerd.
Man, let's start from the jump, dude. Takeover. What's the first match that pops up into your mind when you think of NXT Takeover War Games?
Well, it's not War Games. Velveteen Dream versus Aleister Black.
People that watch this show are familiar with premature ejaculations. So I'm going to start with mine. That's my match of the week.
Oh, okay.
All four nights of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Right off the bat, first night, night one of four nights in Houston, and you're already going, blowing your load early. Dude, put that over there.
Man, you forget watching that match that Patrick Clark's only been on NXT television for what, less than a year?
On television.
Like 6 months consistently, because he did the Patrick Clark thing with the red, white, and blue pants, but they didn't know what to do with it.
But before that, he was Tough Enough.
Yeah, but what was Tough Enough? Nobody saw Tough Enough. Like, really.
Well, what are the commentators – you weren't there. But the commentators were talking about how he's been here for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I was thoroughly impressed. There's a lot of matches in this entire weekend that involved either a build of a good story, a good underdog tale – women's independence and straight up like car crash assholery.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this match was encapsulated everything good about NXT for me. Like the match wasn't too long. There were two different styles, but they had two separate stories, but you put them in the ring together and everything from the beginning when in the first promo on NXT television, mm-hmm. it clicked and it had my attention from the beginning and the climax, the crescendo to the whole song. And, mm-hmm. I left wanting more of that.
After the match.
Yeah. You know, even though it sounds like they put a period on it, like they bookended that chapter by
I think they did.
By actually Black acknowledging.
They should after the end of the match.
Yeah. Man, from start to finish, man, that story was told so well, dude.
I'll tell you this now. I remember you were telling me about this storyline before, because that storyline started when I was not watching a lot of anything, but you kept telling me about this feud that was going on, and I saw it, and I think it was you that said something that reminded you of old Gold Dust from Razor Ramon type thing, where it was mm-hmm. back in the 90s, and I was like, okay, I get that, and I was digging that aspect of it, where they kept a focus on the central part of what Velveteen Dream's purpose was in that feud, was he just wanted him to acknowledge him and say his name. To the point, I think during TakeOver, if I'm not mistaken, the fans were even chanting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Say his name.
Okay. I got something for you right now.
Go, please. Tell me.
Silly me. I was under the impression that Velveteen Dream was a heel.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know. And then because Aleister Black, he's kind of the cool factor, like, but he hasn't really been heelish or facious either way, but he's been getting a reaction. So I'm thinking, oh, he's a face,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Velveteen Dream has been doing the heelish things, sneaking up on him and attacking him and this and that. So yeah, he's a heel. But when I get to TakeOver and these people are just, going crazy. They're chanting left and right. It's not just like one idiot out here just chanting for Velveteen Dream. It's like everybody.
Which isn't a lot.
Touche. But still, yeah. I mean, it was audible on the presentation, on the network thing.
For people that casually watch NXT, I think the explanation for that quite simply is NXT, for all intents and purposes, is a regional territory. They tour 85 to 90% of the time in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever they get outside of their comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
that might be the only chance this year or in the next 12 months before a call-up
yeah.
that they'll get a chance to see a guy perform. And if you really like them, just like, for example, for the last 9 months, The Miz on Raw as a heel
mm-hmm.
has been doing such a good job as a heel.
Killing it.
Dude, lighting these bitches on fire that he gets an audible respect pop for that.
Too bad the bookie doesn't.
We'll get to that in a bit. And I thought, me personally, that was my reasoning when I was watching this match, because the story was done so well that even in the prediction show, I didn't mind who won. Like, if Aleister Black wins, awesome. The Aleister Black wins. Velveteen Dream wins. Dude, they've built up such a good story that it's a credible loss for Aleister.
Right.
And even to develop his character in a loss would show a lot more than just your typical NXT, let's build up the face undefeated, wins title, loses, and then they move on to...
No, that was an example of a perfectly booked match from beginning to end. Storyline, match execution, and resolve after the match with him getting on the microphone... And what do you say? Enjoy your infamy.
Enjoy infamy.
Yeah.
Velveteen Dream.
Yeah. Oh, that was a solid finish. And that's what I'm saying. That should be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what's in store for the tapings, but as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, the tapings aren't going to be done until this Friday. This Friday or next or this coming Monday in Orlando. So they haven't happened yet. So nothing's hit the wires yet.
Yeah.
Is that your match of the night from TakeOver, or was there anything else on that pay-per-view that you thought was...
That's my match of the night. Now, that wasn't the main event. the main event was War Games.
You, Professor,
yeah.
know what a good War Games match is like, because you've probably seen most of them. So you pretty much have a la carte from top to bottom, which are the good ones. Where would this War Games fall in the history of War Games?
This is a tricky one. And the reason I'm saying it's a tricky one is because as much as it wasn't War Games, it was still an entertaining steel cage hardcore match. That's basically what it was. I'm not calling this a War Games match. I'm calling this Extreme Rules Steel Cage match.
There you go.
Yeah. a triple threat tag team. Triple threat tag team hardcore steel cage match. Done. That's all it is.
Try to put that on a shirt. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure it's been broken down by other people about why this, like, the issues that people have been watching wrestling for a while have with this match. 2 weeks ago when I was here with Abel, we were kind of talking about our anticipation for it and everything, and he was already trying to explain their rules to me, and I was like, stop. I'm already out. And then it wasn't until that day, or maybe before, I actually went on to the WWE's website and read the rules. I was like, I don't know what this team. This is a TNA level description of what these rules are. And it wasn't.
I didn't try to rub that much salt in the wound, knowing WWE's history. Whenever they take something from someone else,
oh, don't get me wrong, I knew.
You know,
I knew. I said that. Yeah,
they're going to do it their way.
Yeah.
So I at least appreciated the effort of at least bringing back a match that Triple H on record for years has been wanting to do. A lot of guys that grew up watching the WCW stuff have been wanting to see this match. So the effort, I give them credit for. However, you are going to continue, so continue.
Let me ask you this. Honest question.
Honest question.
Don't cheat. And it goes for listeners too. Don't cheat. How do you win a War Games match?
So the rules are two teams.
How do you win a War Games match?
It's
not how does it start and all that shit. How do you
give up? You have to submit. You have to scream, "I surrender." Yeah. That was an old one.
You're talking
Ellering and Legion of Doom and Dusty Rhodes and
the old way. That's the only way.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this. This whole three-man, three-team thing, the only time that's been done before was one of the worst War Games matches.
Which apparently was the first one Abel decided to watch before he did the pre-show. So everybody else in our chat room and on Facebook has had their turn. Feel free to chew his ass out for picking the worst War Games
research. He knows what he did. But, yeah, on this one, there's – okay, yeah, this – escape and pin and all this other stuff. I was like, no, this isn't War Games. This is still cage match. Yeah. We're
this is something else.
Just because you put two rings together, I mean,
and cover it.
I guess you call it, but they didn't cover it because there's no roof over the steel cage. But then again, that allowed for the because in every steel cage match, you have to have your over the
somebody's got to die. Just that Wile E. Coyote moment.
Your flippy dippy thingamajiggy.
Your razzmatazz.
Abel saying, LOL, stop. I don't know. I went on in our little group chat about everything that's wrong with this, and this is only a two-hour show or one-hour show or whatever.
Well, we're trying to do our best in 30 minutes or less, or it's free.
Yeah. Anyway.
Do you have any positives about the War Games?
There were some cool, like, hardcore steel cage spots, obviously. Yeah. I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, anytime you have that type of match, that's going to happen. My only thing is with the crowd, there was – I swear, if like Randy Savage himself resurrected from the dead in this match, you people will still be chanting, "We want tables."
You know what? It's not just Houston. It's every wrestling crowd
everywhere.
Now.
It's everywhere.
And surprisingly enough, that kind of set the tone for me for the weekend that as much as Abel has been saying for years, he wished that Houston was a smarky wrestling town instead of just the casuals. Oh, no, dude. It's smarky as fuck this last weekend. And that was like the tip of the iceberg. You know, if they would have sold these tickets maybe 3 months in advance instead of 6 weeks, we might have actually had a decent house.
Maybe.
But even with the lack of people that were there, dude, it sounded like it was marky as fuck.
And here's the thing, another thing about the War Games thing. It felt like an experiment. It didn't feel like it's what they wanted to do. It's like we need something to get more ticket sales. We need something to sell this thing. What do they want? What's some things the fans have been – War Games, you know?
Yeah.
Just like this coming Saturday night, SmackDown's doing Starrcade unaired. It's a house show. Why even call it Starrcade? Like, it's not even – if it's not going to be aired, it's just there for the people. I mean, why even bother going that route? No. That's just me. Anyway, back to War Games. What do you think of the match? The match itself, not the fact that it's not War Games.
That was a more entertaining car crash than I thought it would be. I mean, regardless of how long it took for the War Games match to be announced, I think there was enough storyline.
Shark cages.
Me personally being at TakeOver Brooklyn to see the beginning of all this with O'Reilly and Fish and then Adam Cole, Bebe, taking over the whole thing. They had enough time on television to actually make this match sense. And everybody in there played their part really well. I mean, other than friggin' Wolf busting his head open on the table, but you can't really control that depending on
how. Hey, in my opinion, that actually added to the War Games effect.
I know, right? Dude, it was fun. The only complaint I have about War Games, the only big complaint I have about it.
It's still great in between the two rings.
I didn't mind that either.
You know why I minded? I'll tell you. Here, you can't do spots right there, man.
Look, oh, they did spots on there, but they were bad.
Go back to Russell 192 when Arn Anderson's head stuck between the two and Barry Windham's like kicking his head in between the two rings. You can't do that with the steel grate on top of it.
That would have been funny if like somebody's head got stuck in the middle and the Authors of Pain got out to each ring and tried to push them together. Because they're big bastards. They could have done it.
Yeah.
I think my biggest complaint, the match was maybe 5 or 7 minutes too long once everybody got in there. It felt like it was a
the car crash aspect kind of killed the booking style for it, only because like you had that big ass suplex spot or the whatever the flip it was off the top that Adam Cole did.
Mm-hmm. It was a suplex, Eric.
Yeah, Adam Cole.
And everybody waited for like,
yes, please don't die, all this other stuff. But like after that, like it seemed to me, it just seemed like Cole got back up after that and like, super kicked, and that was, I don't know. But that's it for that. I mean, it was decent.
The right team definitely won.
Who won?
Undisputed Era.
Oh yeah.
They just got there on television, and if you kill their momentum first big match in, then who's gonna care?
And that's why another reason it felt like it was a rushed booked thing, because I could have sworn when they first came in they're going after Drew.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, and that got switched over. Yeah. But hey, speaking of Drew,
yeah, poor guy. Poor bicep. It happens.
Dude, he looked boss coming out, though. I tell you that much. He was all jacked up.
We're ready to go.
You're in the kilt, in the music. I'm digging that music. I didn't like it at first.
The Mark, obviously. I haven't been completely sold on the character, Drew McIntyre, in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But after this weekend, I actually bought the fucking theme song.
And did
I
had you?
It on my phone. Yeah, the bagpipes.
Something about the beat when it kind of, there's that.
That riff kicks in.
Yeah.
And the double bass.
It's hard. And it just sucks he got hurt.
Yeah.
Dude, it sucks. Because I got a feeling, we know the formula for NXT. He lost the title, maybe one more match, and then he's called up. But now, who knows? I don't know how long it takes to
bicep heal. 6 months, 7 months, I think.
Ugh.
Something like that.
Day after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Raw after WrestleMania or SmackDown after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hopefully. Maybe SmackDown.
SmackDown. He'd be going SmackDown.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So question for you.
Yeah.
Who is gonna shine brighter as the champ, as a new champ? We've got Ember Moon winning the four-way, and then we have Andrade Cien Almas winning the heavyweight title.
Oh.
Who's gonna look better?
Almas.
Really?
I think so. He's got the mouthpiece. He's a heel. He's got a character. I still don't know what an Ember Moon is. I thought she was a werewolf or something. I don't know. But almost at least he's got opponents. You know, Ember Moon. What is she gonna do?
Iconic duo. Nikki Cross. You're expecting me to give you a fresh matchup because.
Who have they brought up from the Mae Young Classic?
Russian.
Oh, yeah, the Russian.
You know what? Not to jump ahead, but out of all the call-ups between Raw and SmackDown in the women's division, Sarah Logan, we weren't really that high on her. Yeah. There were a lot more women on that.
Well, she's only been there for a cup of coffee.
She's like, only done like two, like what, one match or two match on NXT?
That's Mary Dodson, right?
Yeah.
Crazy Mary Dodson.
Something like that.
Yeah. Which I've heard the name, but I've never seen. And until she was Sarah Logan in NXT, which she's only there for, I've seen her like in two matches.
Yeah.
And she's getting called up already? Like, I guess. I don't know. You said the Russian chick. I say Toni Storm. The Australian chick.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those are two I've been looking forward to.
No, actually,
Tessa Blanchard, an official run from Rachel Ellering.
Here's where I say no on all those people that we just talked about. Between Raw and SmackDown, all six of those women, including Paige, well, Paige is going to get the reception because it's fucking Paige and she's sexy goth. All the NXT chicks between the two invasions have been given the impression that they're heels.
Right.
Toni Storm, I don't want to see her as a heel. So if you're going to bring her in, that if you're going to bring up a talent like Toni Storm,
I was
talking
about Toni Storm in NXT. I wasn't talking about bringing her up in Raw.
Oh, you're talking about challengers.
Yeah.
Toni Storm, yeah. Because I'd hate for girls that we really like as
you're wanting the Russian chick up on the main.
Oh, I wanted the Russian chick on the main roster, dude. Like, you look at her and it's like, oh my God, that's Rusev's illegitimate sister. Like, something, like, give me something, you know? But yeah, for NXT, I'm hoping it's Piper. I'm hoping it's Tony, and I'm hoping it's Gabbert.
Her.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's Gabbert. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, dude,
they need something.
Something different.
Yeah. And they had a lot of talent in that Mae Young Classic.
How about Almas? Who do you want to see Almas against?
Well, it's not going to be Drew. Who's left?
Well,
Cassius Ohno.
You know what?
No, I'm done. Oh. Yeah.
I like Lars Sullivan, but heel versus heel is not going to work right now.
No, no.
There is one person that he's had a storyline with the last couple of weeks, and it'd be a nice redemption.
Who's
Gargano?
Gargano.
Gargano against Almas, and then Sullivan kills both of them.
Sure.
Imagine, dude, if you're going to build up the underdog story of Gargano and him actually beating Almas finally in this third attempt to win the title.
Right.
And then that underdog's got to fight fucking Lars Sullivan, the guy that tenderized Cassius Ohno like a fucking butcher and take over.
Not for nothing, but Gargano, Candice LeRae, she's that could be another call up or another, not a call up, but just in the NXT. But yeah, Gargano, are people still high on him?
Since we were doing prep,
I know there's a match.
Eating
pizza. I know there was a match.
Pete Dunne and Gargano. We're going to have to talk about that next week.
Yeah.
But, dude, people are still high on Gargano.
Okay.
And they might not be as high on Gargano. They might be higher on Gargano if it was Ciampa that he was feuding with. Because that story, dude, right when the iron was at its peak heat, ready to strike, one gets dropped out of injury. And I was like, fuck. Yeah. Still now. It's not the same. Like, I'm still trying to get into him. I still like him. Man, I would have been buying fucking merch out the wazoo if it was Gargano and Ciampa, like, right there.
Buying merch out the wazoo.
Yeah. That's the level of okay, kind of mildly interested. Oh, crap, I need people to see that I'm interested.
Can we move on?
Okay, sure. That's TakeOver in a nutshell, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So how about Survivor Series?
Oh, wait, hold up. On NXT.
Uh-oh.
What would you rate that?
TakeOver?
Yeah.
Overall? I want to give this score as unbiased as possible because, again, I was there. I don't want to say, oh, my God, it was a fucking 10 because I was there.
Yeah. You got to take that aspect out of all this stuff.
Okay. I've watched the Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream match about maybe 3 times since TakeOver. And I've seen the War Games match at least once since TakeOver. And I've glanced over a couple of things that were on that card. It's a solid 9.5 just on what I saw.
Okay.
You know, but I that's my opinion. Yeah. And that's with and that's taking out the fact that I was there. It's a solid 9.5 for me. You know, quality over quantity, man. 2.5 hours.
I'll give you that. I'll give you
2.5 hours. Out of the 2.5, there was probably 2 hours and 10 minutes of solid, holy shit, this is a fucking good show.
It was just the opening match that Lars Sullivan and Cassius.
And even then, I like Lars Sullivan beating the shit out of him. So, I haven't seen much of Lars Sullivan. He won me over at TakeOver. Like, now I'm interested to see Lars.
I didn't think I would hear the commentator call him a Jack Kirby creation. Mauro referenced. said that that Lars Sullivan was like Jack Kirby-esque. It's like, you
stay
say
in
that.
Your lane.
Yeah, you say that. I don't know if you know what that means.
I like you. Don't make me hate you.
Abel says there wasn't a bad match on the card.
There you go.
Abel says, I guess he's answering my question, 9. And then Seth Ross, listener, he says 8.
Okay, so, cool.
Did I answer the question? I don't think I answered the question.
What do you think?
I say eight, between 8 and 9.
Okay, between 8 and 9.
But you say, is quantity over quality. Yeah. No, quality over quantity. That's what
So. By the way, we forgot to do this because I don't host that often. Welcome to everybody that's in there in the chat room, by the way. Yeah, YouTube.
Abel's
you
there.
Us in there. Yeah, Abel's taking control. If you miss Abel, which I can't really give you an explanation for that, but he's in the chat room moderating, so get your fix with him.
Talk to him.
Yeah, keep him busy. He likes the attention. Yeah, and good well wishes to his new wife, Randy. She's got a surgery, so hopefully she gets well soon. Yeah. Survivor Series. You know, every pay-per-view, you always remember what happened last. The last moments of the pay-per-view.
What happened last? Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was hard for me to appreciate.
Of course. Here we go.
With what happened in the match itself.
All right. Go ahead.
So I anticipated this at a fucking almost at 11 because of the star power.
Wait a minute. Whose fault is that?
I know. Yeah. I know. I set myself up for that. Dude, halfway through the match, my interest completely went out the window. So
wait, what went out the window?
My interest in the entire main event, like, gone.
No, let me guess. It was probably when you texted us and you said, "Figures only the old guys are left."
Yeah, typical, right? You know, so.
But you said that when Braun was still in the match. He was just hidden.
he can't see him. You bring out all these guys from NXT. It's your first Survivor Series. You want to show off their talents. You want to show why they're there, why they were picked.
Yeah.
Nakamura gets eliminated with a power slam. Like, he didn't – there wasn't – I had – my biggest worry through the Survivor Series pay-per-view, even on the pre-show – on the anticipation show, was that the women's match – was going to be the typical, oh, I'm going to hit you once, 1, 2, 3, you're gone.
Right.
Let me bring in the next person, right. Boom, 1, 2, 3, you're gone. I was not expecting that in the fucking men's match. Nakamura, power slam, gone. Samoa Joe, F5, attitude adjustment, done, F you, whatever, done.
Oh, I'm sure you know, looked your lid when you saw
Bobby that. Roode, power slam, done. You know,
but who was doing all this to him?
Cena. Cena eliminated Joe. Cena almost eliminated Balor.
Yeah, it's fucking Cena. What do you expect? Everything he does, like, adds, like,
yeah, but
it's like a multiplier of,
and
like,
even with
20.
Cena, I was not booing Cena when he came out. I was expected to see Cena.
Right.
How long was he in the match for?
Not long.
Like, why
just even, there to eliminate Joe?
Why even like not in a negative way, or like I hate John Cena, but because I'm finally at that point where I like John Cena. His booking's not that bad. I mean, up until last night, up until the Survivor Series, like, you made the effort to announce him with, 2 weeks' notice, and he's there for, 3 minutes, and then he's gone?
And
why bring him?
And he wasn't even on any of the shows leading up to
that. Like, why even have him there?
Yeah.
You know, if you were I had mentioned this before, the fact I could have tolerated Jason Jordan being in the match if – on Team SmackDown, you had Chad Gable. You know, when the roster split, you have freaking Jason Jordan having these great matches with Cena and Roman Reigns. But,
right.
Dude, Chad Gable against AJ Styles, against Rusev, his stock was rising on the same rate before, holy crap, Maury Povich said that Kurt Angle's dad is fucking Jason Jordan. So it would have been nice.
Kurt
again,
Angle's dad is Jason what?
Kurt Angle's son is Jason Jordan, is what I meant. You know, but to have more new guys. But now if they were going to fucking book them like that, where all the new guys are gone, like, okay, we're going to pacify the hardcore fans by having them in the ring and do the stare down and maybe touch them a couple of times. And then we're going to go back to the normal, which is, fuck you, fans. We're going to do what we want.
I don't know if it was that bad. I mean, I would have liked to have seen more maybe one-on-one interactions. But, I mean, they all did their little showcase pieces. Like, Nakamura doing his bit to everybody right before, and I was sitting with our friend Scott, and we both looked at each other. Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah,
and sure enough, yeah, he got all his moves in. I mean, they got to show their stuff, but yeah, I would have liked to have seen some more one-on-one stuff. But other than that, it's Survivor Series, so it's a little bit of everybody's is a little bit weaker, only because. It's two faults for that. One is it's the fault of the booking style of kick out of like false finishes and building these guys up to be like immortal almost, to where you damn near have to like blow their head off with a gun to
choke slam them through a spotlight.
Yeah, something to get a three count. So whenever you do have quick pinfalls like that, it's like, well, that's stupid. You know, and I think that's where you're coming from. It's like we've seen him kick out of other stuff worse than that.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that you're in the you half of that audience was just in the crowd last night for TakeOver. Yep. So you know what guys like Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor can do.
Right.
And then you put them in the main show where they have the most prominent match of the night. And how many eliminations did Nakamura get?
I look at it like this.
How many did Samoa Joe get?
I say, see, you look at it as, I think you counterpointed yourself on the one sentence, like, and they're in the main event of Survivor Series. Yeah, they're in the main event of Survivor Series. They're in the main elimination, Survivor Series elimination match, closing out the show. Yeah, they didn't pin anybody or they didn't, you know, they weren't a sole survivor or anything like that, but they were showcased. In the main event.
That's like saying, oh my God, I got to see Ty Dillinger in the main event of SmackDown because he was a lumberjack.
No, that's like stretching it out just a little bit.
So what do you, okay, so I got a question for you with the at the end of that match.
We're gonna get to that, Robert, here in just a second. All
right, good. Who would you rather see wrestle Triple H at WrestleMania? Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan, or Braun Strowman? Or Shane McMahon?
Well, here's the thing. If it's going to be Triple H, if it's on the Raw brand, it's going to be Kurt Angle, I think. Especially on Raw when we got the stare down. That was almost your seminal, you know, stare down picture that they always show
before the match starts in the promo video.
So if not Triple H, and again, with Triple H and Kurt Angle, they can go at the same pace with each other. And if it's gonna, if it's not gonna be anybody from Raw, brother versus brother-in-law,
yeah,
I think that's a good story too. But I don't know where they're going, Jason Jordan.
And that's where I'm thinking too, because
it's not gonna be against Triple H. I'm thinking if anything, maybe he'll turn and then he's fighting Kurt Angle. Maybe. I don't know.
TLC at the last minute, Kurt Angle being inserted into the Shield team in that 3-on-3, 3-on-5, it protected him because he wasn't there that long.
Yeah.
But watching him wrestle on Sunday, not to mention this entire time, the feed cut off of last week's episode, Kurt Angle can't even stand up straight.
Yeah.
You expect Kurt Angle to go 30 minutes on a WrestleMania main event headlining match against Triple H, and you're going to be entertained? This is not the Kurt Angle from TNA 5 years ago.
Right.
That's like long gone. I don't see Kurt Angle. I would rather see Kurt Angle and Triple H main event like a Raw pay-per-view building up to Mania, or maybe the Royal Rumble, because again, the main event of the Royal Rumble is nothing but the Royal Rumble.
I didn't say he would main event WrestleMania. I just said.
Well, Triple H's matches in the last 5 years at WrestleMania, they're at least 20 to 35 minutes. At least.
Yeah.
You're not going to even pull 20 out of Kurt Angle. That's going to be.
I agree with you on that only because when I was watching that match at Survivor Series, I turned to Scott. I was like, I get nervous watching Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even funny. Like, I get nervous when he's taking bumps and shit. Like, I got a feeling something's going to happen to this guy in the ring.
I had that same feeling. I was like, man, this better not be the Mitsuharu Misawa of the United States. Like, have him like some random bump in the middle of the match, and he never moves again.
Look what happened. Look at Sting. Dude. Yeah. Look at Sting.
We were there.
And Sting was in.
And it was a normal.
I wasn't there, but yeah. I was. Yeah. Sting, like, is in, I would say, a lot better shape than Kurt Angle. And the fuck, he almost ended his career. Well, he didn't end his career right there, but I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dude, it was fun and nostalgia's sake, but dude, I don't see Kurt Angle at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And if that's the case, and hopefully and maybe he's just still getting that ring rust. I don't know what. I don't know. But maybe.
You're going to need a belt sander for that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So if it's not Kurt Angle, if he's not going to wrestle in a match, I don't know. I mean, it's still got time. It's the Survivor Series. We got Royal Rumble and then Mania.
Would you be interested in a Triple H versus Strowman match?
Triple H and Strowman at Mania? Or just in general?
In Mania.
They planted the seeds. They planted the seeds.
A lot. They fucking garden on Raw, dude. They planted a lot of shit on Raw.
Garden. Yeah. Yeah. They did a couple of things with Braun and Triple H. Funny note. After the cameras went off on Survivor Series,
I saw that.
Dude, that was pretty good stuff with Triple H flare flopping and falling backwards,
running into the LED.
Dude. But that was all because he got a couple power slams from Braun Strowman. Yeah. And then on Monday we saw like Braun just like get all up in his face.
I had to rewatch the ending of that because I was wondering, man, I hope there's something I missed because I don't think it got the reaction it should have gotten.
For what?
When Braun actually like had Triple H in the corner.
Yeah.
I don't think it got the reaction that I thought it could have gotten because Survivor Series, out of all four nights, that was sold out to the gills.
Right.
There was not a tapered section anywhere. Mostly every seat was filled. So when I saw the Necro, like, man, if you ever double cross me, I'm gonna fuck you up. I was like, holy shit.
Oh,
not so blatantly, but in essence, that's what he said.
Right, yeah.
And Triple H looked like a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
If I would have had that, if people in that audience would have had that context in the moment, there would not be a roof on Toyota Center right now. That shit would have been like fucking over. That alone got me interested in the concept of building, especially now, even with Roman. He's been getting face reactions for fucking months, dude.
Wait, what?
Braun has been getting face reactions for months. Roman, like, pull the trigger on Braun. Like, make him your next big man baby face and have him beat the hell out of Triple H.
Dude, you said what? You watched Raw, right? When Kane came out and attacked him? Yeah. He sold the hell out of that chair shot.
Yeah.
But that's definitely, he's a face now.
I don't know if that's a complete sell, because if you get a chair in the boobs, that shit's going to hurt.
It was supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, shit. So Braun's chest.
He has no throat.
He has no neck, beard, dude. I know he has no neck. It's all boob.
Didn't the beard protect his throat?
Fucking Tempur-Pedic memory foam. That's why I'm trying to grow mine out.
Let's say, let's watch a replay on that. I'm sure when the chair goes down, it's like just bounces off the beard.
Oh shit, man! Like that classic. The boom.
You see the arms coming out of the beard to like push the chair back.
Oh, shit.
The birds fly out.
Speaking of monsters, man, how about Lesnar and AJ?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I was nervous at first.
But that's the normal feeling you get with Lesnar now, because you know Lesnar's going to have most of the stuff Lesnar does looks like you're legitimately hurting.
But somebody. I got nervous for booking-wise, because I was thinking, oh, God, here we go. It's going to be Suplex City. No. But booking side of that, they made it to where AJ withstood the beating, the initial beating, kind of lasted the first round type of thing. And then he came back and got his
– try to wear him out.
Yeah, and, man, it was working so well. Man, I was into that match. Matter of fact, when you ask about match of the weeks and all that stuff, I was a toss-up between AJ Brock and Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black. But I think the overall storytelling in that one just kind of held this one up a little bit more regards. But AJ and Brock, I know a lot of people probably didn't – maybe not liked it too much, but yeah, AJ, like his performance, and you could say his flaw was he just went to the well one too many times, and the third one that was gonna drop Brock once and for all. Brock just happened to catch him, and he did the F5.
I think that's the part that sold me not only his match of the night, but I'm with you. Like that's my conflicting interest on match of the week, because I wasn't really sold on Brock Lesnar's storytelling side, but him selling AJ's calf crusher and then his counter to it. But leading up to the finish, I don't know if a lot of people noticed this, when AJ went in the air, Lesnar grabbed him, and he was hopping on fucking one leg before he did the F5. I haven't seen Lesnar sell for anything like that, I think, since he's been back.
Yeah. No, he made AJ look like $1 million out there. When he put on the calf crusher, and he was going – yeah, I was thinking, shit, is he gonna tap? Like, and then you know, Scott was like, yeah, you know, a fucking UFC champ making him tap out. It's like, yeah, dude. Obviously Brock won, but then you cut to Paul Heyman in the back of that promo putting AJ over even more.
Yeah.
That's a
bold fucking statement that if you're not a fan of AJ, you don't like wrestling.
Yeah.
That's an elitist point to make, but I don't think he's wrong.
No, and he was saying the stuff that fans say. It's like he's this generation's, you know, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, that type of thing, you know, and
better. I was gonna piss Abel off, but better.
Abel says that he hated Lesnar versus AJ.
Oh, we'll give him and Arnold some time next week to debunk any of our arguments. But how about the women? 5-on-5.
My biggest complaint about that was Becky's elimination.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, bar none. I was like, get the fuck out of here. And I think you could hear it, like, in the crowd starting just – I think the crowd just kind of deflated after that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with not wanting to push her so high on the card.
Well, she was the first women's champion for SmackDown.
Exactly.
She had her time.
Well, clearly, Vince. This is kind of like what they do with Sasha. Like, she was on the top, and then
you know what to do with
it. Yeah, it's like, what do you do?
We got more girls. I wonder what Kevin Dunn would say if he was here.
Well, he's not here, so
okay.
So we have Becky got eliminated first, and then I was just kind of waiting for it to be
Asuka versus the world.
Yeah, I thought she was going to do that. Like, I thought it was going to be more one-sided. Like, and Asuka was like the last.
She was the last one. She got rid of two or three.
But I thought she was going to get rid of like four of them.
Yeah.
You know? But like fucking Buzzsaw, man, just like went through all of them. And that's how it should have been, honestly. You wanted to you need to establish her to the mainstream audience of who is this person, like what can she
what do? Is an Asuka and what does yeah. she do?
I take this as kind of similar to CM Punk in, was it 2006, 2007 when he teamed up with GX
and he got parties. The highlight. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't necessarily win. Or yeah. no, I think he did.
Yeah, their team, he won. They didn't, nobody yeah. got eliminated on yeah. that team. You kidding yeah. me? That's like, that's an untouchable team right yeah. there. But yeah, that made sense for, because it's not like where they normally do on other call-ups where they don't really honor everything that they've done before. Yeah. This one, they acknowledge the fact that, hey, she's undefeated. She has over 700 wins or some bullshit like that and has the title for so many days. Yeah, she's not going to lose this match. Yeah. And she's not going to lose this match, and she's not going to lose for a while. I just don't know how they book her going so strong, you know?
They had
to get rid of her on NXT to make all the other women relevant.
the biggest positive of the women's match was how they made Asuka dominant. She tapped one out with an ankle lock. Right. She tapped another. She pinned another right. one with the Shining Wizard, and then the Bubba Bomb into the Asuka yeah, lock. Yeah. She's done it once or twice on NXT before she was out.
Yeah.
But oh my god, that's a beautiful like transition into the submission.
Yeah.
And it was gorgeous. And I love that they showed that this is how threatening she is. She just beat three different women three different ways. Everybody on Raw needs to watch out. But then that bleeds into Monday, which my biggest worry, I think, is becoming into fruition. You just got Asuka there. You just bragged about how undefeated she is, how she left NXT, how long she held the belt. I was worried that somebody was going to steal Asuka's shine. And then they bring Paige on the Raw brand.
Well, that was – they had to throw her out there because that all – throughout the whole weekend, people – and all last week too, it was just like Paige's comeback. Paige's – they had to bring her out because otherwise people are just going to keep talking about it. So I might as well do it, you know. What threw me off was
– she didn't come alone?
Yeah, Mandy Rose and
– Sonya Deville.
Yeah, which I don't have a problem with that. And we're gonna compare this to SmackDown here in a minute. But I was – when that segment ended – and they left everybody else laying in the ring, and I left that segment intrigued.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like even with Sonya and Mandy.
Yeah, I was like, where are they going with them two? Because, I agree. I think we talked about this way before, but Sonya Deville, I like
the MMA background.
Yeah, I like the gimmick. I like the character.
She has a big fight feel to her, even though she hasn't been in many big fights yet.
There's that, and Mandy Rose, besides being fucking hot, she's like. She's like a competent Eva Marie.
Not just that. I'm glad you mentioned that. She's a wrestler that a lot of the casual fan base recognizes because she's been on Total Divas, right?
Well, here's the thing about that. Yeah, she's on Total Divas, but they purposely left her off NXT for a long time because apparently Vince was – go figure. Vince was all about Mandy Rose. So they knew they were going to bring her up, but they didn't want her involved in any storylines and keep her off, kind of
keep her fresh.
Keep her fresh and don't like wear her out on NXT. But apparently she's been improving a lot in the Performance Center, and they say that she's got the look for a superstar.
Well, she's got a look.
She's got a look. That's for damn sure. I say she looks like a blonde Eva Marie. My wife says she looks like Trish Stratus. So she's kind of like a mix.
A fusion?
Yeah. Ah! Fusion! Yeah, all right.
Thumbs up, thumbs down on the tag match since we just did that. Usos against the Bar.
Oh, I forgot about that. I want to say I like the match, but I don't really remember that much. You're talking about Survivor Series,
right?
Usos won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Usos, man. I like what they're doing with their characters.
They've been around for over a decade, dude. Did you know that? And they're nothing like they were in the beginning.
You know, I'll tell you this. Their music, like listen to it live. It's a lot more catchier in person than it was on TV. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe because I'm like hearing the words and I'm like, fuck yeah, this is pretty cool.
You're white. It takes you a while.
Yeah, it does. Actually, this is rap.
This is hip hop.
Bipping and the bopping. Some of the kids are calling it nowadays.
New Day against the Shield.
It was what it was. It was everything I thought it was going to be.
Is that a comment? Is that a compliment or is that a negative match?
It was everything you get with New Day, and it's everything you get with Shield all in a match. I don't know. Nothing surprised me in that match.
That's a very close runner up for match of the night. because I wasn't expecting the show to start with that. That
what does that have to do with the
whatever? No, well, okay. My train of thought. You've got three former WWE heavyweight champions against the Shield. Against the New Day. Yeah, against the New Day. Even though it took so long for it to actually get put on paper, I would have thought they would have put that higher up in the card.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the match. Like, bloody hell, I enjoyed
it. It wasn't boring.
It wasn't boring at all. Yeah. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah.
I didn't care who won either way. I still would have been happy with it. But this isn't the first time. If you're going to start the pay-per-view up here, you got to keep it up here.
Yeah.
And Survivor Series was it had a couple of dips, a couple of valleys, a couple of peaks, a couple of dales, you know, up and down. But it was still pretty consistent.
There's a dip. Miz and Corbin, that was my bathroom break. That's all I got to say about that. Alexa and Charlotte, they didn't have good chemistry. I agree. I didn't really care about the match. Charlotte won. I knew she was going to win that one. I didn't see the Enzo match. I was getting a Pizza Hut at the concession.
That was pre-show, dude. There were three matches on the pre-show, and I
totally
no
missed
idea.
Matt Hardy and Elias.
I missed everything.
Yeah.
I got there maybe 5:30, and I waited in line for 20 minutes for my nephew to get merch.
Yeah.
And so we missed everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's on the network. I'm already there for 4.5 fucking hours. I'm not going to try to make it an extra one for stuff I don't want to see.
I got merch. I got a Suplex City. But it was cool because it was like Houston based. And this is cool that I don't know how long they've been doing this, but with like city oriented merchandise, it was, you know, the shirt that Brock's been wearing with the ticket stub and the city and everything. But the shirt was like a navy blue instead of black. And
Astro color.
The tickets were, it was outlined in orange and it said the city,
home of the champs
in the orange. Yeah. And it says one way ticket on the, it said that was in orange too. Look badass. And then on the sleeve,
I regret not getting one.
And in the sleeve said Survivor Series. So it counts as first a Brock Lesnar, a Houston, and a Survivor Series shirt, all in one.
So all the boxes.
Yeah.
I'm waiting until Friday. They actually
keep talking.
Oh, shit. So they actually released the Survivor Series poster, and so Black Friday's coming in a couple of days for anybody that's watching live. Yeah. And so hopefully I can get that shit like half off or something and add it to the collection because I have a shit ton of collection of posters and shit everywhere I go to.
Robert Mellon says he got the Rockets. Yeah, there was a Survivor Series
with
shirt.
The Rockets logo.
It was red and with white lettering and it had like Rockets font on it.
It had the logo.
The Rockets logo in the middle. Yeah. I was almost going to get that one, but I saw the Lesnar like.
Yeah, the Lesnar one. Fuck yeah, dude. Dude, that's it for Survivor Series. How
did we miss anything on that? I think we touched on everything, right?
Yeah. Overall?
Maybe 7.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
7.
It made my experience a little better when I found out I had a nice surprise.
You motherfucker.
I bought nosebleed seats. I had nosebleed seats. Way.
Pause.
What?
That wasn't the only thing you did on Sunday.
Oh, it's not. Well, let's get down here in a second.
Okay.
Because we can finish up SmackDown.
Okay.
So, or Survivor Series. So, yeah, I had, like, nosebleeds, 4-0 something. So we go there. We get our, you know, I get my food, I get my drink, walk into the aisle. Stop. I get a lady stopping me, and she says, nope, you can't sit here. It's blocked off. They got cameras and shit. It's blocking the views. I was like, okay, so we're switching your seats. I was like, okay. I get my new seats. I go from 408 to 120.
Right behind the hard camera, guys.
Yeah, goddamn right. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Now I know what section to look for when I'm buying future tickets to WWE events. Section 120 in the Toyota Center. Shit. That's the way you do it.
Yeah, that's the way you do it.
And those lovely seats.
War Games only had about 4-6 weeks sale time before the pay-per-view, so the top was completely tapered off. The hard camera and maybe two sections beside it on each side were tapered off. So watching a War Games match with the badass cage and then a sea of nothing behind it kind of threw me off when I'm used to watching it on TV and a whole bunch of people going, like Kermit the Frog. I'm taking your idea, dude. I need that seat so that I know, so it feels like I'm at home watching
it
and everything.
And that's what helped me out, too, because I felt like I was
at home.
Yeah. Okay, so that was that. And you kind of teased it a little second ago. So
what else did you do on Sunday?
So I went with Scott, and we went to House of Blues, and we saw Something to Wrestle With, Bruce Pritchard. Brother Love, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
He does a podcast called Something to Wrestle With, and he did a live – it wasn't for his podcast. It was just he does like live – he does live shows.
Q&As and stories and stuff.
And
how was it?
It was fun.
Josh Reddick was there, Astros player. Oh, yeah. He just bragged about an Astros shirt, y'all, and now he's like – but just the player. Because
he, Brock Lesnar. He was boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the pictures that were posted online, he looked like he was bored.
Like they get him, they set him in between it was Bruce and his partner Conrad. They were just talking and then they set him in between. He's like, so you're from, you know, Houston, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, well, what's been your, you've been to a lot of events? Yeah, man, I've been to a lot of events here in Houston. He's like, well, what's your favorite one? Let's see. And then he said, I can't remember which one he said, but it was like that. Like every time he didn't, it's like they didn't prep him for the questions or anything.
What's your favorite event in Houston?
WrestleMania 17.
It's not that fucking hard. It's not that hard. Shit.
It's not that difficult. When in doubt, lie.
And if he didn't lose fans at that night, he lost the rest of the town because it turns out he's thinking about switching his walk-up song. He used to have Ric Flair.
Actually, speaking of that,
as a walk-up, and I
was speaking of that. The cool thing about him being there was he said he was Conrad, the host. He said he talked to Ric Flair the night before, and he said that he was going to have him on there because he's buddies with. Josh, he's friends with Ric Flair, so they talk a lot. But when Ric Flair found out he was going to be there, he like sent him a whole bunch of stuff to, you know, he's going to give him a lot of gifts.
So it was a loot box,
sort of. But the cool thing was, Conrad said whenever he talked to Ric, he said to call him while he's there, and he'll FaceTime him. And so sure enough, Conrad called Ric Flair, and we didn't see it but he had the microphone, he had a speaker. And we can, you know, he was having a FaceTime with Ric Flair.
Oh, nice. There.
And Conrad, like right before, the funny thing is they had a bad reception and they ended up like hanging up on Ric Flair. You don't hang up on Ric Flair.
Story of his life.
Yeah. But before they finished, he actually, Ric Flair called back. and then Flair was like, he was congratulating him on this, blah, blah, blah. And then Conrad was like, hey, before you go, can you give us a woo? And he gave us a woo. So it was a certified Ric Flair appearance.
Nice.
So that was a cool part. But, you know, other than that, it was just them just kind of telling stories about Vince. And he does actually does some pretty good impressions of Vince and Macho, actually.
Yeah.
But if that, I mean, it's all it was.
And Michael Hayes and Dusty.
Do-do-do.
Yeah.
So, it was fun. Thanks, Scott, for the little ticket there. So.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. And then we went on to the show. But so that was a Survivor Series. And then we have Raw.
So I'm gonna have to eat a little bit of crow here.
Oh Lord.
God damn you, WWE. God damn you. I actually was cheering for Roman Reigns. Fuck me, man. Not so much the title win. The Miz is gonna go film a movie. Right. You know, it kind of made sense. You know, they're building up to the whole three of them having belts, whatever. That's fine.
Yeah.
What's the biggest complaint we've had about Roman Reigns besides failing the drug test and licking Samoan?
Isn't that it?
Being his promos.
Being a douche? I don't know.
His promos. Yeah. They're so forced. It feels like somebody, like a puppeteer's got their hand up his ass. And...
Yeah. Well, the camera slipped one time and they showed it.
And they showed it. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. You get that on the network.
It's disgusting.
Dude.
No lube.
That was the first time in a while that it sounded like Roman Reigns was actually being himself.
Right.
It felt like a table for three where he was actually talking like...
He does that every now and then. It's not like...
That was a home run on Monday. Like, it was enough for me to be like, I see what you did there. You said Houston. And then it was over and I was like, what's this stench? It's like, crap. I ate my own shit.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, this is like 3 days deep into WWE.
Yeah, I'm already like.
So this is, that's why.
Yeah,
that's you've already been, this is the brainwashing.
Yeah.
fuck.
I need to get cleansed. Where's the beer? Nah. Yeah, man, the whole and that goes back to The Miz, dude. This whole year on the microphone, dude, he can put a broom over. Like he's been doing that good.
He did. Mic. It was Corbin.
I was Corbin. Yeah, fucking Corbin. Yeah, man, The Miz and his entourage and The Shield in there, the whole promo was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. Everybody in Houston enjoyed it. Oh, my God, he said Varsity. This is where we're from.
Dean will turn on The Shield? Yeah, probably.
Now, Dean.
This is that's what Seth Ross says. Seth Ross is in the chat room.
Man. I think they just got to all split their ways. We don't need a heel turn from somebody again. I mean,
oh, that's right, Robert Medlin. Yeah, he was there at the Bruce Pritchard thing. He'd rather have JR or Booker. Get the fuck Booker. JR. Yeah.
You can't even understand Booker on commentary. Why do you want him at a show? You know how
he's from Houston.
You know how bad of an anchor Booker T is for weighing shit down? Like, he weighs down the commentary team. He was at the soccer
game. And he replaced Atunga.
Oh my God. Not more context. He was at the Dynamo game yesterday and we lost 2-0. No. Booker T is no. No. No!
JR would have been good, though.
Yeah. How about Finn versus Joe?
How about Finn versus Joe? It's a good match.
It was really good.
I've noticed last two or three matches Joe's been in, he's getting, I don't want to say more aggressive, but he's been more
intense.
He's like, they're throwing, like, he like ripped Joe. I mean, he ripped like Finn off the top.
Dude, when he does that, you're in Noggin. He did it. Who was it? What was it? It was like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, it was like Jason Jordan or somebody.
Yeah.
Apollo Crews. Bitch, get your punk ass down. Boom. And he like fucking bounced off. Like, holy shit. That's like classic TNA at his best, Joe. I was like, oh my God.
Ugh. Joe was like, he could bring the intensity in a match to make it feel almost real. Well, I shouldn't say almost real, but and then his promos, when he goes intense and then he'll just like snap all of them.
There's always been the comparison made in during the Attitude Era when the wrestlers were at their best, when they were just being themselves turned up to 11. I've seen that from Joe so often that even after meeting him a few times, it's hard to believe he's actually a nice guy, because he would I have the impression that he would come across as, if I ever even say his name, he's gonna beat the shit out of me. You know,
he probably will.
Like, I'm surprised he hasn't already done it. But
he sees those sunglasses and he's like, oh, fuck this asshole.
Oh, man, it's fucking overweight, make a wish kid. Nah, I'll kill him right now. Like, no, dude, but he has intensity. His promos.
Integrity and intelligence?
No. He has intensity. His promos always get to the point, and he still has that big fight feel, I think. But I'm surprised, you know, you would think you're finding a new opponent for Lesnar, you know, before the Rumble or building up to the Rumble. And word on the street was Finn was going to be that guy. And he just got the shit beat out of him by Joe.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the next opponent for Lesnar? Royal Rumble-ish time.
Nobody. Just kidding. Unless you want to feed him Finn. I heard something with a Z. It was on the news.
My answer also has a Z and it came from a Z.
Yeah. Apparently, if you noticed all the during the summer, like when Brock was facing Joe and Braun,
the four-way.
Yeah. And then SummerSlam, you noticed nobody was kicking out of the F5.
No one's supposed to until WrestleMania.
See, and then he steals what I was gonna say. They're saving it for Roman. Thanks. Yeah, so they're saving. Yeah, so basically, it's gonna be Brock versus Roman at WrestleMania. That's the early preliminary plans. So
I suddenly, don't feel bad that I don't have a ticket for Mania right now.
You'll get over it. Rumble, feed him somebody. It doesn't matter. We know the game plan is.
Yeah.
Unless you want to throw us a curveball like they do sometimes and have them lose at Rumble and then win it back at the February show and then lose to Roman.
If you're not going to do Finn, which is disappointing to several listeners, maybe a couple of female listeners in there, my suggestion, I mean, I've just gushed over him a couple of minutes ago. Imagine the promos between Heyman and The Miz building up to The Miz versus Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. Remember, your main event is not a title match. Your main event is the Royal Rumble. So they've experimented main event title matches at Royal Rumble.
Right.
Why not Lesnar versus Miz?
If Bob Holly can get a title match at Royal Rumble,
holy
against
fuck.
Brock Lesnar.
Holy fuck, yeah.
Why can't The Miz? Are you saying Miz isn't as good as Bob Holly?
Broken Holly? Freaking neck Bob Holly? God dang.
How do you like me now? I'd be okay with that. Promos with Miz and Paul Heyman?
Yeah,
building up that match?
I think
because we all know the main event is the Rumble. Yeah. So it's not going to hurt anything.
I think that was my biggest disappointment from the Miz Corbin match. I think that promo that we should have gotten building up to the Survivor Series with Corbin and The Miz going back and forth.
That wasn't on personal, TV.
That wasn't on TV. That should have been. They could have had time to not build Miz necessarily as a face, but as someone that you would like to cheer for over a guy like Baron Corbin.
Right.
Especially with his fucking pregnant wife there at ringside.
Yeah.
This could have been a nice little start to The Miz getting destroyed at Royal Rumble by Brock Lesnar. You know, and I think they just, the booking of that at the end was just bad.
I like how you can almost see the way Miz performs, like on his promos and everything. Like, he's going in business for himself in a good way. Like, he's like,
his business is what's best for business.
Like, he knows, like, he's probably going to lose. Like, you know, I'm not going to lose this match, but damn it, I'm going to get my points across in these promos one way or another. And I think this only fueled his character more so.
It keeps him relevant.
It's almost, you know what? If they continue this trend, it's going to be another Bray Wyatt. You know, Bray, his promos and his character is way up here, but he never fucking won. So he's like always down here. Like, nobody gave a shit about him.
Hopefully that doesn't happen to Miz now that he doesn't have a belt. Because I think Bray at his peak, he was believable when he had the WWE title over his shoulder for that 6 weeks, 4 weeks. And then once he lost the title, it's like, okay.
It's just,
I haven't seen Bray in months.
Like, okay, so it's okay to lose a title, especially to Roman Reigns, but you're going to have to
bounce back.
But then he's leaving to film a fucking movie. So, and then what do you do with Mistraj and whatever? And it's just, I don't know.
I think that's it for Raw. Well, we'll end Raw with this. Which is the better three-pack? Sonya, Mandy, and Paige?
That one.
That was quick. Well, just for everybody else that's playing along at home, against Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan.
You know, as much as they keep saying, you know, SmackDown is not the B show, that felt like a B product. the B show version of what we just saw on Monday.
The parade brand.
It was just the same fucking thing on SmackDown.
Unless they're building
up to
like...
You had a goth chick. You had the blonde hot chick. And then you had...
Ruby's not the goth chick. She's the punk rock chick. She's a Vans Warped Tour
girl. Whatever. She's got... It's the same fucking thing.
Paige is the Marilyn Manson girl.
Yeah.
Well, Ruby Riott is like the Social Distortion girl. The Green Day girl.
Yeah.
Blink-182.
No, you didn't lose me. Okay. I'm just... Offspring. I'm waiting for you to get out of your fucking system. All right. Okay. You done?
Offspring.
Okay. Thank you. It's the same thing.
Ransom?
Okay. Jeez. Yeah. But here's the thing. I told you after that segment on Raw, I felt intrigued. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know why. First of all, why is Paige back? Storyline wise, why is Paige back? Why is she back now?
Money.
And what storyline wise? And what is
drugs?
Storyline wise. And what is her purpose?
Another Mexican to bang.
There you go. And what is those other two?
Like, save your points.
I just had to go there. I'm sorry. And what? Why are they there? What is her connection with Mandy and
Sonya?
And what are they going to do? I'm intrigued by that storyline. Cut to 24 hours later when we see the exact same thing on SmackDown. But in this particular case, it's not a returning female superstar. It's an NXT trio all coming in at the exact same time, randomly. And these are all faces that we've seen on NXT. They're all faces.
No, Sonya. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the two matches we've seen Sarah Logan in, she's been a face. So we have three faces on NXT all of a sudden on SmackDown beating up all the face women. I didn't feel intrigued. I felt like confused.
Can I give you an option on how to fix that?
Don't watch it?
No, I got a better one. Oh. If they would have replaced Sarah Logan with Bianca Belair. On Raw, the attraction is Paige because she's back.
Right.
Sonya's cool. She's got the MMA fight feel. Mandy's delicious. Mm. But SmackDown, you've got the punk chick, and then you've got Liv, the wannabe Carmella. Oh, that's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
So you have Carmella Jr., the punk rock chick, and then you just have the creator wrestler from like the DLC of 2K14. Like, if you would have had Bianca Belair, the chick that beats the shit out of other girls with her hair, okay, my anticipation for the whole thing would have gone up. Because she's a heel. So her to do the heelish things would make sense for Bianca Belair. All these other faces jumping like they're fucking taking over, like, It didn't make
sense. I'm going to say something.
Okay, go.
And you might appreciate this. I don't know. The listeners probably won't. I know that they've all been faces in NXT, but Ruby Riott, she's got the nose of a heel. I'm sorry. I can never get past that nose, man. I can never get past the nose. The nose makes you want to hate her.
My game, $2 whore for a wife.
Follow my nose
to the rainbow.
Shit. Actually, no. When you mentioned
Bianca,
yeah, Bianca Belair. I was thinking, you know what? Take out Mandy Rose out of that, and have Paige with the two like kind of like two badass fighters, like the Sonya.
Two Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all three of them are Mortal Kombat characters. The dead one, Paige is the dead one. Yeah. She has no skin pigmentation.
Yeah.
And then you got Sonya Deville. Yeah,
the zombie and the
zombie,
fighter.
The fighter and the
the other one, the
mutant.
Hair.
The mutant. Because they have Mortal Kombat has a chick that screams, and then they have another chick that is a freaking reptile, and then you have Bianca Belair with the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. Fuck!
Sindel.
Sindel, yeah. They got their version of Sindel.
Yeah.
Shit. And then we just got fucking King of Fighters from like the first fucking Neo Geo in SmackDown. It's like, okay, it's outdated. How about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, dude? They were
How
pretty
about
much,
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
They were the
We didn't talk about them on Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was predictable. Like I was waiting for them to come out and do something. Yeah. Oh, that's one thing we kind of left out on the whole Jason Jordan thing. Because on Survivor Series, he even did a backstage promo. I'm sorry, I'm like jumping way back here, but he did a backstage promo about, well, maybe Triple H will get eliminated or something, like very ominous, like he's going to do something. And then nothing for Triple H to do the...
Kill his daddy.
Yeah. What did you think about that real quick? I'm not spending too much time on this, but what did you think about the whole Triple H turning on Kurt Angle to join Shane, to turn on him, to pin him?
It lost me at first until he killed Shane. Then it's like, I get it.
Yeah,
I think if I would have heard the commentary, I would have had the context in the moment as opposed to waiting until.
Me and Scott kind of looked at each other like, oh, okay, this is cool. Because we get it. Because
y'all got it?
Cerebral Assassin. It makes fucking sense. And I dug it after that. I was like, for Triple H, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I know we forgot to talk about that particular aspect of that main event match. And I wanted to get that out. That we didn't forget about it. We just, we forgot about it. But
we remember.
Yes. So, Jason Jordan, he didn't do anything in the main event, but Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn did.
Yeah.
And that was had ramifications on SmackDown. Now we have the storyline with Shane was basically going to fire Kevin and Sami until Daniel Bryan came out. He says, well, you can fire him, but why don't we, before you do that, why don't we
kill him?
Why don't we kill him? The whole roster hates him. We'll have them come out and lumberjack match and they beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
And then later on in the backstage.
Ty Dillinger and the Colognes, the Colons were in the main event. You guys know that?
Yeah. So was Mike Bennett or Kanellis.
Oh, yeah, Mike.
So whatever. But there was a backstage thing when Shane was like, that's a good idea about the lumberjack. So after that, you go and fire him.
So
and then I'm going to let you take over. I'm going to put my backpack on. I'm going to go to school. So he left. And then we have the main event, which I'm not embarrassed to say this. I fast forwarded the whole fucking thing. I didn't care. You were there.
By halfway through Raw, I just felt like I was at your place and I was just on my phone half the time. I wish I had fast forwarded you. Sometimes I had my phone and I was going like this.
I tell you that every single time you get a ticket to Raw or SmackDown, I was like, dude, fast forward through all this shit. You're not going to be able to survive all that.
I learned my lesson. Yeah, four nights. Oh, yeah.
You didn't learn your lesson for shit.
Yeah, not really.
No. So, anyway, so we get to the main event. What happened in the main event?
Owens and Zayn were their opponents were distracted.
New Day.
They were distracted with the whole kerfuffle of everybody fighting.
And
everybody.
They got the pinfall, And they roll up pinfall, and then they got out of dodge.
Owens escapes. Zayn didn't get the message. He gets killed.
Yeah.
And then we get Daniel Bryan backstage going, hey, man, I'm not going to fire you yet. Randy Orton still needs somebody.
Yeah.
Would you be a thumbs up or thumbs down for a Daniel Bryan heel turn?
I thought we were going to get that.
I thought so, too.
I thought that's what they're leading up to Survivor Series.
You know, because if there's anyone that would understand Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn fighting the system, it's Daniel Bryan. And from the beginning, when he went covert to talk to Angle to smooth out, I was like, oh, man, something's brewing here.
Yeah. And I hope they didn't just drop that altogether.
Yeah.
I hope there's still time for – and like you said, there's – maybe there's just planting seeds. But, yeah, the whole anti-authority thing, there's something – something's there. They're brewing – there's seeds – there, which can grow just in time for WrestleMania, and in and in fucking New Orleans. What happened last time in New Orleans? Fucking Daniel
Undertaker
Bryan.
Lost.
Yeah, that thing too.
Oh man, I think that's it for SmackDown.
Anything else? Was there anything else
on the notes?
SmackDown? No.
No, that's it. That's all that we wanted to talk about. I mean, Shelton and the Uso happened.
Yeah.
Women's title happened. Yeah. I was hoping for Carmella to cash in. But no, instead the girls just beat the shit out of fucking Charlotte. And then fucking Carmella didn't even capitalize on it. So you're gonna have her lose.
Yeah,
you're gonna have her lose the Money in the Bank contract rather than have her cash it in at the best time when she just got murdered.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Her little sister went and did all the damage for her.
Yep. Ugh. I'm not gonna like that. They're gonna replace Ellsworth with the Liv Morgan chick.
Did you hear? I heard a rumor. I don't know if this is true or not, but they didn't come to terms on his contract because he didn't like what they were going to. Did you hear about what they were going to do with him?
Oh, apparently Ellsworth was going to fight Charlotte for the women's title at Mania.
Yeah, he was going to transgender.
Transition
into a woman. I was like, didn't they ever do that with Santino? He's Miss WrestleMania, isn't he? He won the Battle Royal? Mm-hmm. Santino?
He looked pretty good.
Yeah. Abel liked him.
Oh, he likes anything but a dick. I mean, that's it for SmackDown. I guess we can end the show on another question. Thumbs up or thumbs down with Hideo Itami announced to be at 205.
I guess thumbs up. Cool. Let me counter that. Is that a good thing for 205 or is that a bad thing for Hideo?
Depends what they do. I've been petitioning for months, dude. Make 205 interesting. You have nothing to do with Hideo.
Mm-hmm.
Throw him on there. And the second that I saw him on the big screen in the arena in my seat, I was like, oh no, they just doomed this guy. Like, what did I wish for? Fuck that episode of The Simpsons with the monkey's paw and all the wishes turned bad. That's exactly what that felt like, man. Exactly.
Yes, I'll give you.
You know, because. Yeah. It's going to be good for Hideo in the sense that he's going to be on two different in front of two different crowds in 1 week. He'll be in front of the Raw crowd because they highlight cruiserweights on Raw, and then in front of the SmackDown audience, he'll on the tapings he'll be on 205.
If they
so he's down. two nights back to back, he'll get a lot of exposure.
Potentially.
I don't know what kind of character, if anything, you're going to do with Hideo that's going to work because Hideo pretty much doesn't need a character. He's just going to kick your head off and stick it on a spike and go to Whataburger. Like that's
and what that's Hideo his does. Problem. You can't market that.
But on the contrary, the whole point of the Cruiserweight division was to highlight the wrestling. The tournament. The tournament
not 205.
205 has been like
it's characters.
Yeah, but that most of that has been a fail. What are the good characters that have come out of 205? Gulak, Gabali Gulak at times.
It depends.
Tozawa with Titus Brand.
I'm not gonna say it's good, but at least they've got characters developed. I'll give them that much. They've been developing characters.
Hmm.
It's all subjective if it works or not. You know.
And it's subjective, especially when I was in the audience. And as soon as that 205 banner went up on a screen after SmackDown, people were leaving.
Really?
In droves, they were leaving. They moved a lot of people from the floor on the hard side camera to fill some of the seats. Like, I was like, oh,
man. Did they make an announcement that to stay seated?
They don't. Before they air SmackDown, they need to tell you this is what we're going to do. SmackDown's from 7 to 9. 205 is from 9 to 10. And then the main event at 10 o'clock is a six-man tag with Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, and AJ Styles that the crowd have been chanting for all fucking weekend against Rusev, Baron Corbin, and Jinder Mahal. That crowd, Survivor Series, there was 15,000 people there.
Yeah.
That were all chanting for AJ Styles' name.
Right.
But they somehow forgot that he was also going to be on SmackDown because there was only about 4,000 people there. And you could cut that number to about 3,000 once 205 started airing.
Well, here's the thing. You just said it yourself. There's like 15,000 people two nights ago. Smack, like four nights in a row. Not everybody's you. Not everybody's going to be going to everything.
Yeah.
You know, especially.
Truth be told, I wasn't really planning on doing all four.
And it's Thanksgiving week. I'm sure a lot of people are going out of town or doing other things not wrestling related, you know? So, yeah, I think it was you that told me like 2 weeks ago. It was like, dude, if it's not WrestleMania, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And then here you are 4 days later.
I had ulterior motives. I kind of had to. But now I got that out of the way.
But to your point, it wasn't WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah. Why?
Why? Like, was it necessary, you know, to do that? I mean, maybe it was a test run to see if how of a marketable town Houston is.
Well, because they've not only that, they've been test running these. They want to make the big four relevant. So WrestleMania, they're there four nights. Takeover WrestleMania's fucking Hall of Fame takeover WrestleMania Raw SmackDown Royal Rumble Survivor Series SummerSlam takeover pay-per-view Raw SmackDown in the same place. They're testing the waters to see if they can do that
right
for the big four. I don't know if they can.
No.
Takeover wasn't even sold out when I was at Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then this one here is like, oh my god.
They got lucky with Takeover only because of the War Games gimmick.
But the biggest problem with Takeover, those tickets were only on sale for 6 weeks, and that was after Hurricane Harvey.
Right.
You think Hurricane Harvey victims are going to shell out money for War Games when they don't even have a roof over their head?
Yeah.
So, if they would have sold those tickets, maybe a month or two after the Raw, because they sold like in May, I think they sold Raw and SmackDown tickets at the same day. They had them on sale, and that was in June. So you had like 4 months to buy them. If they would have announced Takeover Houston and had the tickets on sale in July, and then halfway through it was like, oh my God, Swerve, the ticket that I have is now for fucking War Games,
yeah,
that would have put more asses in the seats.
Right.
But I guess just timing with the marketing or whatever.
Something, yeah, I don't know what the hell was off with that.
Because
yeah,
normally a week and a half after NXT Chicago in June, the tickets for Takeover in Brooklyn went on sale.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen when I got home from Takeover Brooklyn. And I think that might have been a big reason why Takeover wasn't as packed. Back to the Hideo thing. You're playing with house money at this point. You know, I'm kind of disappointed because Hideo was the first guy. When you go back in the NXT timeline, this was the moment where it was acceptable for independent wrestlers to make a name in the WWE. They took fucking Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Hart to Japan,
yeah,
to have Hideo Itami, Kenta, sign the contract in front of the Japanese crowd to signify, hey, it's okay to like WWE because I'm there.
Yeah.
And ever since Itami was there, who's come in the door since Itami? Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Drew McIntyre came back.
Well, I don't think all these are because of Hideo Itami.
Well, the mindset.
I think you're putting a little bit too much.
The mindset on it. The mindset for WWE that it's okay to bring in independent talents that have a big name, bring them to our company. You know, they repackaged Sami Zayn, they repackaged Neville, but they didn't really brag about Sami Zayn being a Mexican wrestler or doing anything. They didn't really highlight the fact that fucking Neville or that.
Well, yeah, normally they just bring him out.
Yeah,
not but Hideo was the first one that they actually made a production out of.
Yeah.
I think the only time before that I can think of is when they first signed Sin Cara, when they went to Mexico.
But that was for the main roster.
Right.
That wasn't for NXT.
Right. But still yeah, the same.
Same concept. Yeah.
It's all WWE.
Why are we whispering?
I don't know.
Fuck. Yeah. So, dude, that's almost a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Just got one more question for you.
Oh, God. What?
Is your match of the week Aleister Black versus
Team Dream? Yeah, like I said, I was kind of torn between that and AJ Brock, but I think I'll stick with that.
You sure?
Okay. Not really, but.
Because I asked this question. I asked a couple of questions online. Who won the brand supremacy over the weekend? Raw, SmackDown, or NXT?
I quality over quantity is probably NXT, if not Raw, I guess. I don't know.
This is our – I've got some of that replies from our Facebook page. Aaron Garcia voted either Usos versus The Bar or Aleister Black versus Velveteen as the match of the week. Jake from State Farm, he picked either Johnny Wrestling versus Pete Dunne or War Games. Brandon picked The Shield versus The New Day. Robert Medlin picked either Dunne versus Gargano or Aleister Black versus Velveteen. Porsche picked Black versus Velveteen. Jose Luna picked Black versus Velveteen. Philip Bernard picked Black versus Velveteen. Jeremy Clinton picked Aleister Black versus Velveteen. Daryl Hughes picked Aleister Black versus Velveteen. And Dillett Robert Howland III, no question, Velveteen against Aleister Black. So I ask you, is this worthy to be on the match of the year?
Abel's, I know he's still in there. Give us a thumbs up on the thing if you agree. I would say it would. Only because it's a surprise factor. Like, I don't think a lot of people were expecting what we got. What do you think?
It's hard for me. I'm biased, me being there.
Oh, God. Get over yourself.
So the reason that I would put it on there is because of the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I think this is the first match, maybe this whole year for our match of the years, when we would ask that question, and it was fucking damn near unanimous. That everybody on our listeners on Facebook
four posted. Nights of wrestling, and
that stood out to them. AJ Brock, 5-on-5 men, the return of Paige,
War Games.
To some, Roman winning the IC title, and out of all that,
Aleister Black, Finn and Joe,
and out of all that, Aleister Black versus Velveteen.
And that says something.
Yeah.
Granted, it's only like six people, but hey, it's a lot, yeah.
With 24 hours notice.
Yeah,
dude. If you're in, I'm in. That's going on our match of the year.
Abel says mine is Black versus Dream.
That's his match of the week. You know what?
So match of the week. So it's, yeah. Do y'all still do the thing?
Yeah.
Do you want to do it? We already said it.
You know. And
so match of the year. Canada,
if we were to ask the fans, fill in the blank and pick one. For your match of the year, shit, I think we got enough people back there. I don't know where I threw my phone, but yeah. Aleister Black versus Velveteen is now on our match of the year list, which I'm sure is going to jab Abel and Arnold, because their biggest worry when we couldn't do the podcast the normal way tonight was, man, I'd hate to have a match not be on our match of the week or match of the year because we're not there to talk about it. I was like, well,
that's life. It's right there. Yeah, he's virtually here. So.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Arnold said Arnold's favorite match is War Games.
That's why he's temporary.
Yeah.
Dude, it's
match
on our
week,
list.
Matt versus Elias. No, you saw it. You're the one person that saw that match. No one saw it. I didn't see it. Matt came out on Raw with a taped up elbow. I was like, what happened to him?
I'm about to reach my breaking point.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we have one more in the books. Aleister Black versus Velveteen. I'm too old to bend over, so I can't pull up the list of our match of the year
candidates. Able to do it for you.
Yeah, but on that list is match number three of
what?
Kazuchika Okada versus Kenny Omega on our match of the year. Pete Dunne versus Tyler Black from TakeOver Chicago. A match that we picked from Wrestle Kingdom, Tetsuya Naito against Hiroshi Tanahashi. And we got some more stuff. The three-way with the tag teams, Authors of Pain, The Revival, and DIY, that's also on our list.
Good times in tag team wrestling.
Yeah. So we got one more for the list, so that's more homework for us when it comes down to doing our end of the year special. So I think that's it. You want to call it a night? Yeah. You want to record some pop culture?
You mean rewind? The pop culture rewind?
You want to talk about the old...
A League of Justice?
Yeah. Yeah, you know where.
Yeah, sure.
You know where one of the guys comes back from the dead, and then you got another.
You're
guy
confusing
in the
these
back.
People. I don't know.
The guy that runs around really fast. No, you don't want to do that right now in front of these people. You want to save it for the pop culture people.
Popcultureround.com.
Yeah. Pop culture RWND at the Twitter machine.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Might be a new episode coming up pretty soon on that one. Yeah. We'll probably be wearing the same clothes in that one too.
Or do you want to talk some older stuff? You want to talk older wrestling? The good stuff? Like, you want to talk an old Warriors match?
You mean like when you have a relapse?
Yeah. You just you just need that fix.
You got too excited when you did that.
A little. It's been a couple of days.
Yeah.
I'll get off before the night's over.
Yeah. I guess we can tell them, right?
We can. Can we?
Yeah. We're working on a new project.
Yeah.
Because we teased it. It's on the HWR iTunes feed.
Yeah, the two guys with the gray hair. We're going to be talking old wrestling. Yeah. I've seen a few. Mm. Yeah, Wrestling Relapse. We've got a couple of ideas. Want to tease them?
Yeah, there is a big War Games match, but we're going to do an episode on Steel Cages.
Yeah, the evolution of the Steel Cage.
There was an Under Siege.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about invasions. Yeah. So we have different stuff. We have... we'll be doing commentaries, and we'll do countdowns and all kinds of stuff. So.
Oh, the countdown episode. The first one's going to be fun.
But it's not going to be current stuff.
I can't tease that?
No, you can't.
No?
No, that was a tease.
Oh, come on. We'll see if Alexander Wolf makes the list on our first countdown.
Okay, whatever. All right, so on that note.
The dude busted his head open.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
We'll see if he makes the list.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you make the list? Oh, no, that's not but yeah.
Call this thing in over.
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
So, adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Go fuck yourselves, Houston.
Toodles.